Hello, Facebook, and welcome to the Brian Noonan Show podcast. We are starting it off as we usually do on Facebook, and then we will go to the web-exclusive podcast that you can find at WGNRadio.com. Joining me, as always, freshly back from Switzerland, my producer slash partner in crime. I don't know what you are. I didn't want to give you a title and then you ask for more money. Cody's here. Cody Goff is here. He is always here at the during the show and on the podcast, so we're glad you're here.
Wait, now. I'm supposed to get paid for this?
Nope. This is all gratis.
Oh, okay.
If you're wondering, hey, Brian and Cody, why are you on at 6:13 Central Time on a Sunday night? Shouldn't you be on the air? No. We thought we were going to be on the air, but there's a Northwestern basketball game, so we will be taking to the terrestrial airwaves at about 8 o'clock, but we decided we would do our podcast first, making sure that that got done and we could go home and go to bed at a reasonable hour. So welcome, and it's good to be back. We haven't really had a live show in a month,
it was the first.
Yeah, and then we've got a couple, and then we're off for a few more weeks. So
yeah.
So enjoy it while you can, and I say that to myself and to Cody because we're not there. All right, since we last saw each other, a new president has been inaugurated. The country has endured the first week of said new president. There have been protests for any number of things, including the Women's March on Washington, the sister marches throughout the country. There was also a March for Life the other day that Vice President Pence spoke at, being the first Vice President to speak at one of these in in 40 years, a long time, if there had been anybody before who spoke. And last night, the newest protests were because of President Trump, which is hard to say, but he is the president, and I am an American citizen, so I guess he is my president, signing an executive order. Basically, despite him calling it something to the contrary, is a Muslim ban, saying that we can't have immigrants from seven different majority Muslim countries coming in. We're going to put a ban on refugees from Syria indefinitely. And that sparked a number of protests because as of last night, now this has changed a little bit today and going forward, the ban included green card carrying people, permanent residents on their road to citizenship, they were being detained as well. So there was a big protest last night at airports around the country till a Brooklyn federal judge put a stayed that order and things got stopped. But you, having come back from Switzerland, a country known for its neutrality, were catapulted right into the middle of all this political turmoil, and you actually went to the airport last night?
Yeah.
I was busy being a thespian, which probably soon I'll be part of. I'm already part of the opposition class, according to Steve Bannon, the man who controls the strings of our president. I am in the, and you are too, since you're in the media as well. We are the opposition class. We should just shut up and let the president tell us what's what.
Clearly, yeah.
But that's not going to happen.
I think
that's not going to happen.
I think that's the way a real true democracy works.
Is that
when
right?
The government tells you what to believe.
Of course it is. We see that in Russia. We see that in North Korea. It works very well. State-run media is perfect. It gives nothing but the truth. Everyone is well represented. I think it's fantastic. Plus, it'll make my job a lot easier. I'll just come in every day that I'm on. They'll hand me my state-run talking points, and I will read them from our fearless leader to the masses that will gobble it up like Pablo.
Sounds pleasant.
It does sound pleasant, doesn't it? Just a big, and someone standing over in the corner making sure that I don't veer off. How long do you think I would last under that kind of regime? Not even a show,
about
right?
As long as me.
Yeah, not even a show. I don't even think I'd make it to the first break.
Yeah.
I'd come in, look at the first talking point, and go, you can't be serious, right?
I barely make it as it is now,
yeah.
Let alone under that kind of that kind of a thing.
So a lot going on for this podcast. We're going to talk about Cody's adventures in Switzerland, my upcoming visit with the orthopedic surgeon. We'll talk a little bit about the protests last night. Of course, let's get to these protests at the airport because I'm fascinated that you went, and I believe that from last week on, protests are going to be an almost weekly occurrence in this country, because I think the current administration is tone deaf when it comes to what the majority of Americans think about what they're doing. And the only way that that people who don't agree can get their message across is to get out in the streets and peacefully protest. And that's the key. Peacefully protest. And yes, a peaceful protest will inconvenience some of us. I was inconvenienced by a protest Tuesday night, right at on Wacker and I think it was Wacker and Madison. There was a protest outside of an office building there, and it screwed up traffic. And until I knew what it was, I was, of course, cursing in my car because that's what I'm wont to do. Mm-hmm. But then I realized it was a protest, and I was still a little put out. But I was like, all right, you know what? Go ahead. Protest away. They weren't breaking anything.
I think the focus should less be on retaining the peacefulness, because that's everyone's going to do that. I think most of people protesting already know this. But people need to emphasize that it does need to become disruptive.
Yeah.
And that's the only way it's going to be effective.
Take over the streets.
But I'm talking about, I mean, when Rosa Parks and the whole bus boycotts,
right.
That significantly affected businesses.
Yes, and sit-ins and things like that.
Things like that. This needs to happen. I mean, I felt, watching from afar, that the Women's March was in some ways ineffective because it was so controlled. It didn't really
It wasn't, though.
Wasn't
because,
it?
No, well, it started because my wife was a marshal at the Chicago March.
Okay.
So she was down here, and it was estimated to be a small thing, and it was going to be very controlled. A little rally in Grant Park, and then a march along. And as the days got closer to the march, she kept getting updates, and there were updates throughout the news saying, all right, we've had to change the route. We've had to change the route. By that morning, when she got down there and they decided that they could not march because there were too many people, well, the organizers saying we're not going to march stopped no one. The streets were overtaken. There were people started their own marches. It was, you know, and police were scrambling to block streets, and the marshals were having to run and block streets off. It stayed peaceful, but it took on a life of its own. And even though officially they weren't going to march, there were marches all through the city.
Sure. Makes sense. I feel like it's a little less inconveniencing to the city when it's on a Saturday.
Sure.
You know, what I'm saying is I mean, like, they shut down Terminal 5 last night.
Yes.
That is a direct impact of...
Yeah,
you know, direct immediate impact that affects companies and businesses and things.
Right. No, I agree with you. I'm not arguing that you're wrong.
Yeah.
About the
but
the
that's good to know
there.
That it did disrupt a bit. But I just hope that things get more and more and more disrupted to the point where
a mess. Yeah, because that's the only way. If you hit somebody in the pocketbook, and especially this administration that seems to be loaded with top to bottom with guys who, to them, the middle class is if you're just a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Because they're billionaires.
Right.
So they don't, you know.
Right.
You and I, we're not even stuff that they scrape off their shoe.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have to find ways to hit them where they live.
Because money talks.
Money does talk in this country.
That's all it's going to. You can have 10,000 people walk down a street, but unless that messes with a business,
right.
It's not going to do much.
And, you know, messing with a corner pharmacy is not what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stopping in front and look at the businesses that support, you know, these policies. Those are the ones you stand in front of. Those are the ones you sit down in. You don't walk up to a random Starbucks and go, oh, a corporate monolith. We're going to sit. They're not the ones who are causing this.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to pick your targets.
And not all the big companies are bad. I work for a billion-dollar corporation, and we're a multinational corporation. We have employees everywhere. We have employees from offices in Middle Eastern countries and in the U.S. trying to get to and fro,
right.
And it's impacting the families of my coworkers of my day job. So our firm is full throttle. I mean, and not getting political. They're not taking a political stance.
But right.
What they're saying is, look, this affects us and our people, and we've got to try to combat this because it's going to affect our business again,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of other businesses. And I mean, the moral thing is kind of important too.
Well, listen,
but
moral schmoral. We can't worry about that. That's for Jesus to worry about.
Oh, Jesus!
Jesus is going to come back because you know we're a Christian country,
mm-hmm.
and sure, taking
we are?
Well, taking care of refugees, children, and women who are, you know, being displaced and murdered because of a civil war. Jesus, I don't pretend to speak for Jesus. I don't even pretend Jesus speaks through me. I don't walk from door to door telling people I have a personal relationship with Jesus.
You don't?
I don't.
You stopped doing that?
I did stop doing that. Once they went, WTF is wrong with you?
Wow.
I went, well, I guess you're right. But I think helping the poor, helping the injured, that seems, from my 12 years of Catholic education, and you back me up on this, that seems to be what Jesus was telling us to do.
Nah,
to take care of other people.
Not if it costs you more money.
Oh, all right.
Let's what, see. Are you a socialist?
Not at all.
You're a dirty socialist, Brian.
Not at all. I love making money. I love making money. I don't do it well, but I love the concept of making money.
Yeah.
And I love the concept of everybody making as much money as they can. I also love the concept of, you know, helping people out. And then weighing, oh gosh, I'm going to use the F word.
What?
Facts.
Oh, no.
I'm going to use the F word. I'm going to throw it out there. I don't know. I know in this day and age, facts are looked down on. What do you need facts for, Brainiac? I don't know. I just like them. I like a fact now and then. Because, but looking at facts of, well, Syrian refugees, no Syrian refugee has actually ever been arrested or suspected of any sort of terrorism in this country. None, especially little children, little Syrian children and Syrian women who are victims of war and atrocities and genocide. Not a lot of them have come over here and went, you know, now we're going to blow stuff up.
What accent it, was that?
I don't know. I don't know Spanish. A Syrian. They both start with S. I don't know a Syrian accent.
Sure.
I haven't. You know why? Because there's not a lot. I don't like Syrian refugees.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't talk to them.
Yeah.
So I don't learn their accent. That's why. No. I was having tacos today in a very, very, very authentic Mexican joint, a little tiny joint in Berwyn. And I thought to myself, you know what? I should invite the president here because once he eats one of these tacos, maybe he'll shut the hell up. I don't know if he'll come. But anyway, back to the protests.
So, yeah, wait, where are you? I know we've gone a couple.
I'm going in a lot of directions, and I'm going in a circuitous fashion because I think a lot of our heads are spinning this week.
Yeah, what's the main thing you're trying to say about this whole?
I'm trying to say that these executive orders are wrong. I'm trying to say that the Republican leadership, who are being silent except for John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and a handful of others,
mm-hmm.
are complicit then in supporting this. If you're silent, your silence supports this. And if we sit back now and allow this administration to continue on the path that they're on without any sort of vocalization, without any sort of message being sent that this will not stand, it's going to be a long 4 years. And while I believe this country would rebound from it, I don't know how long it would take. And I don't have that kind of time.
So what I want to do is, I'm guessing a lot of our listeners have maybe a liberal bent, just being in Chicago,
right.
tends to be. But for those that aren't, you know, who are listening, that mm-hmm. might be listening to this and is a Republican and maybe still supports Trump, what common ground can we find in this issue? You see this refugee or immigration ban in many ways, and you say, okay, this isn't okay. So what is okay that you would say, hey, Republican listener, here's what we could do instead that will maybe be a smarter way to accomplish some things.
Well, we have a vetting process in place.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to look at where there's I hesitate to reference this because I don't have it in front of me. But I saw a study today, and it was, of course, through CNN, which we know is fake news.
Right.
But it was talking about the percentage for 40 years, including the September 11th attacks, for the last 40 years, how likely American citizens are to be killed by a terrorist in this country. And it was per year, like 1 in 1.46 million chances. That's like the lottery. That's how much. And then from a refugee, it was 1.6 billion, 1 in 1.6 billion, an obscene number. But yet we've bought into this fear, and that's how he rose to power, and that's how a lot of fascists and dictators rise to power. They play on people's fears. And yes, some jobs have been lost, and yes, there are illegal immigrants in this country, and yes, There may be some undesirables coming over who somehow have slipped through the cracks. Okay, So let's look at the policies we have. And nobody wants to give the country away, but let's do it in a humane, constitutional way. And let's not exclude, when we're writing an executive order, let's not exclude the agencies that could actually help us write a policy that is not going to be challenged in court within hours of being put into play. He excluded two of the main agencies that could have looked at this and said, you know what, legally this isn't going to work. And we're not going to, but he wants to do it himself, him and Bannon and his little inside circle. So immigration is fine. I'm all for guarding our borders, but I'm not for isolationism. I'm not for a blanket ban on a religion. I'm not for saying, listen, Christians are being slaughtered. They're being treated very badly. So I'm going to look out for them, when the facts show that more Muslims are being murdered in these countries than Christians are. So if you want to help people from these war-torn countries, you can't do it by religion. You have to just up the ante on your... We have strong vetting. If you don't think it's strong enough, actually, instead of just spouting off, come up with some ideas. Come up with the actual concrete suggestions, not just sound bites, not just tweets, but actual constructive things. And maybe listen to people who have been in this business for a long time. I know you're an outsider and you're going to drain the swamp, which is a total load of bull. But there's people who've been working in the Foreign Service and international diplomacy and homeland security for a long, long time, who know a hell of a lot more about it than you ever will with your crackpot ideas. And you're, I'm going to shoot from the hip. You can't shoot from the hip when you're dealing with the world. You can shoot from the hip when you're dealing with your own little company and the ramifications of your decision affect you and your employees. The ramifications of this garbage that he's spewing out affect everybody in this country and pretty much all our allies around the world. So that's, I'm not, the problem is, We've devolved into where it is a Republican and Democrat issue. It's not a Republican and Democrat issue. This is an American issue. Because I don't care who you voted for. And I'm not, oh, if Hillary, but she lost. Because the Democrats screwed the pooch. She's not the president. She never will be. Bernie's not the president. He won't be. Okay? Donald Trump's the president. However we feel about it, that's fine. But it's all of us now. And if you... Somebody on Facebook who is related to a relative, who's married to a relative of mine, and I'm not going to, I know, she's very, very, very pro-Trump. Very pro-Trump. She likes his ideas on corporate taxes, things like that. Mm-hmm. Today, she was like, okay, he's gone too far. And I was like, holy cow, if somebody who's, and she's an intelligent woman. Even though I don't agree with her politics, she's a smart woman.
As many Trump voters are educated and intelligent.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's the other thing we have to try to get past. The problem is the intelligent Trump voters are being drowned out by the idiot Trump voters.
Well, I think intelligent people on the internet are always drowned out by the idiots.
Just shouted down by lunatics.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point being, she's seeing that, all right, in this case, which goes to your point, in this case, he's out of bounds. And okay, I might agree with him on this and this, but come on, you can't do this.
Yeah.
You can't say people who have green cards are being detained. You can't completely cut off help to refugees. You can't.
Yeah.
So this all goes back to your initial question. How do we reach out to the Trump voter? Well, the Trump voter is an American. So as Americans, we need to look at this and think to yourself, I'm second generation immigrant. I don't know when your family came over.
Me neither.
But my grandparents all came to this country.
Sure.
So I'm not that far from being somewhere else.
A lot of people aren't.
That's, of course we're not.
A lot of people aren't.
And a lot of people who came over are not quote unquote Christian. They came over as Jews and Catholics, which are Christian, and all sorts of religions. Everybody came here because we're a melting pot.
I think what needs to happen is too many people...
I am winded.
I think what needs to happen is, and this is on every side, is too many people are married to the idea that their candidate or their party or whatever affiliation or team they've picked can do no wrong.
Yeah.
So with I had a lot of criticisms of Hillary during the primaries. And I mean, you talk to a Hillary supporter, and to many of them, it was like, no, nothing bad could have possibly happened because she's my candidate.
Right.
Well, no, you can still like her. Not everything has to be perfect. I actually did not believe in every policy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I did not vote.
No.
I was going to come across his counter and smack you.
I actually did not support every policy Bernie Sanders proposed. I actually didn't.
And you were a big Bernie guy.
I was a big Bernie guy, and I was a big fan. But I saw a couple weaknesses, and I recognized those. But everyone on every side, I think the majority of people, no matter what the issue, are unable to re-examine their own beliefs or their own affiliations with skepticism. Right. And I think that right now, the only people that can now do that are Trump supporters, right? Because their candidate won.
Yeah.
They're the supporters. Okay, he's your guy. That's great. He won. Now, if you don't second guess him or scrutinize him, then there's no one to hold him accountable. Obviously, people that are Democrat or liberal leaning
are always,
or independent,
right.
They're already, you know, they've been criticizing him for a year. They're going to keep doing it. Now, I think it's up to I think it's up to Trump supporters to be skeptical. And I'm very, very critical of the Democratic Party right now. I think the Democratic Party is trash right now.
Yes.
I wouldn't give a dollar to the Democratic Party.
They're in complete disarray.
All they've been doing for 2 months is screaming about Russia. Where are the senators going out and protesting at these events? Where is anyone doing it? The only person, the only senator I've seen do anything is Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
And the two, Al Franken and the other senator from Minnesota were...
Oh, that's right.
Spoke this morning, and I watched part of it.
There is a select few, but they are so few and far between.
Right. Well, now they're the minority now.
Yeah, now
but they need to be screaming louder.
Exactly. So
plus, listen, the Democrats have to. They should be looking yesterday for who are they grooming for 4 years from now? Who is going to be the candidate? That is, obviously they're looking at midterms for congressional races and things, but who's going to be the standard bearer? How are you going to reinvent yourself so that you become the Democratic Party that used to represent? The Democratic Party was the party of the working man.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic Party was blue-collar voters were Democratic. That's how do we get back to that?
Mm-hmm.
How do we erase or push aside this false but valid, false but a label that won't go away of being, you know, elitist and, you know, we're only on the coasts and we don't care about what goes on in the middle of the country and rural America. All these people used to be Democrats because FDR created all these programs that helped.
To help people.
And the Democrats kept going with these programs and fostered it. And then somehow, somewhere, that flipped. And, you know, blue-collar people in rural America started to look at Democrats as, oh, they don't even think like us. And that's unfortunate.
So here's us being critical of our people.
Yes.
And now it's your turn, everyone else. You know, at this. But I think that you and I are in the minority of Americans now.
How many of us voted for President Obama for two terms but still weren't happy with everything he did? And we're, I don't know if it's smart enough or open-minded enough or pragmatic enough to say, ooh, dude, that wasn't right. Or, you know, maybe you should have put a little more thought into the website for Obamacare so people could get it. Or maybe there should have been a little bit more compromise on this or that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you have to do. Unfortunately, we have a president now who can't take any criticism. I don't know who he... I don't know if he thought he was winning like America's best top model or next top model where he was just going to be lauded everything he did. But hey, welcome. Out of anybody, he should know what presidents have to endure because he put the last one through so much garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not an American. He wasn't born here. He's a Muslim. Blah, blah, blah. Really? Birther Joe? We don't stop. So I reject. I know I'm jumping around. I apologize. But I reject this, just get over it and give him a chance. No.
I think I was not over that. I don't think I was over it until we gave him a chance.
Well, yeah, he's had a week.
First week in office, he has done, I think, irreparable harm to our international standing in the international community.
Yes, and he's also, for his first thing, he signed taking away a mortgage credit for first-time buyers. The people he swore he was going to help the most, the middle class, the working class, the people who need that $500 mortgage credit, he took it away.
Yeah.
Those were the people you sold your hats to.
Well, and right now we're looking at China. I mean, I was at the World Economic Forum last week, and the president of China was there and opened and talked about trade and globalization and democracy and things that it was a weird role reversal.
Yeah.
The Chinese president opened the forum, and then at the closing day of the forum was when President Trump was inaugurated, because it was evening in Switzerland when it was morning here in afternoon. So it was a weird year, and it doesn't look good internationally.
No. I mean, what was the vibe as you were there with all these world leaders and big brains, and you were in a very secure area because these were top-notch folks? Overall, what was the vibe? What did they ask Americans? Did it come up in conversation? Like, what the hell's going on with you guys?
Yeah, so I'm not the kind of person anyone is trying to talk to.
No, of course not. But you can.
Yeah, yeah. You
there's
know,
people of your peers and your, you know, right? Weren't there people at your level?
Yeah, tidbits that I heard here and there and things like that. A majority of the sessions tried really actively to kind of stay away from letting the Trump issue dominate the entire conversation.
Yeah, as it probably would have.
Yeah, a lot of business is going on. I actually entered this. It's the World Economic Forum. It is an annual meeting of the minds. CEOs of the largest companies in the world are there. There was something like – there are usually at least 10 to 20 world leaders. Joe Biden showed up.
Very nice.
With John Kerry. I mean, it is the president of China, you know.
Big shots.
It is literally the most elite place in the world to be.
Nice.
So
and you were there.
Weird that I was there.
Did you buy a roll neck sweater?
No roll neck sweaters. Oh, no roll collar sweaters.
All right.
But what struck me going into it was easy to look at and think, this is the oligarchy, right?
Yeah.
This is the richest of the richest, the billionaires. I think Bill Gates was maybe there. I'm pretty sure Zuckerberg was. I mean, it is the richest people in the world. And it's easy to go in with this cynical, oh, it's all those guys,
sure,
you know, on their ivory towers deciding what the peasants are doing. But they look at things from a more scientific and factual basis
Why do you keep using that word?
What was refreshing, and I kind of became a believer in this, was that all these conversations and sessions talked about what is globalization doing? What is trade doing? What goods are being produced in China, and how is it happening in such a way that it's disrupting the global flow? How is trade creating jobs? And they were looking at big data and numbers and ways for how this affects people. Then I go on Facebook, and the drivel that people are arguing and the non-facts,
right,
and the on all sides, and the quibbling and the, you know, and the what did Trump's wife wear at the election, and oh, was Obama more of a gentleman at the inauguration?
Well, like, he was.
None of this matters.
No.
It is all, and this pervaded our campaign, just useless, meaningless, pointless crap that 99% of people are talking about, including the media.
Right.
And these people at the forum, no, they're not white, you know, they're not blue-collar workers. They're not in factory floors for the most part. But they are actually looking at data and studies and research and economies and seeing how things affect and trying to make decisions. From what I could tell, the dude tried to give people a fair shot. So that's what I noticed most strikingly about the whole event, was that they weren't just distracted by this crap, you know? The other day, the statement the White House released about the Holocaust, Not offensive. I'm sorry. I know some people were offended. It was not offensive. It said we remember all who were affected in the Holocaust. What is wrong with that?
Right.
I'm sorry it didn't specifically say Jews.
I think we can assume
who
he
in the
was
world
talking about-
doesn't know that the Holocaust was about persecution of Jews. I'm so sorry they didn't spell out that the most well-known genocide in the world,
in the history of man,
which was all about Jews. I'm sorry they did not spell out that specific word.
Right.
Oh my God, I'm so offended. It's crap like that that is just people missing the forest for the trees. That is awful. So to answer your question, they were asking these big economic questions, and usually Trump came up in the context of we are in the most uncertain time globally, basically in the modern era.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what he's going to do. He's so unpredictable.
Right.
And there were world-class economists saying this. They said, look, we can model whatever we want, but if he decides executive order, get rid of NAFTA, then the game has changed.
Yeah.
So,
well, he already pulled us out of the one Asian trade deal.
He did, yeah. So, which, I mean,
some people say that's good, some bad. I'm not an economist.
It's tough. I was just listening to a Freakonomics podcast, and they talked about how China's manufacturing has affected trade and our economy and everything. And it is complicated.
Yeah.
Because if you do look at the world, and I've read some studies from the forum, that the world as a whole, many third world countries and second world countries are raising their economies.
Mm-hmm.
That tide is rising for all their ships.
Right.
But in currently first world countries, the income inequality is becoming greater and greater.
Yes.
As a result, a lot of this globalization is benefiting the people at the very bottom and the very, very top, whereas the middle class is kind of getting lost in the fray.
Right.
So
that's always the way. It seems to be the way things are happening all the time for the middle class.
For the last 20 or 30 years, especially with, you know, various. I don't know if that was too specific.
I don't know.
I feel like I dated you to death. And if you were bored by the last 5 minutes, welcome to facts.
Yeah. You know? Facts can be boring. Data is mind-numbingly boring. That's why I like people who can figure it out and then put it into, you know, layman's terms.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's why there's, you know, smart people deal in facts.
Mm-hmm.
Smart people listen to facts and analyze facts. And you don't have to have a PhD to read the newspaper or to listen to somebody give you analysis. And there was a very interesting piece in the Washington Post today talking about how we need to get trust in the media up again. And the way to do that, they say, is to deal less with pundits, less with opinions, and just go back to straight reporting facts. And facts, given time, facts will out all these lies that are coming out of the Oval Office and the administration. And, you know, PolitiFacts is non-party affiliated. If you look at PolitiFacts, they check everything that comes out of politicians' mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, our current president not doing really well with truth. He lies a lot and exaggerates for his own purpose and then fixates on the wrong stuff. Dude, you were sworn in a week ago. Who cares if you didn't win the popular vote? Don't use some disgraced blogger from Texas as your the cornerstone of your argument that 3 to 5 million fake votes, illegal votes, you know, cost you the popular vote. You won. Shut up.
And the media needs to stop covering stuff like that.
Right.
And people need to stop consuming stuff like that.
Well, the president is putting it out himself.
The president is putting it out himself and people are responding and they need to stop.
Just ignore them.
On both sides.
Like you do when a child has a temper tantrum. You ignore them.
Literally.
Yeah.
I mean,
ignore them.
Democrats, be above what he's saying. Republicans, be above what he's saying. You know what? We all know who won. The popular vote doesn't matter.
No. And listen, Trump supporters, stop saying, get over it. Just get over it. We're over it, but that doesn't mean you fall in line lockstep. You know, think about 8 years ago. Did you get over it and fall in line? Did the Republican Congress get over it and fall in line? No. So don't be harp. Oh, just, you know, quit crying, blah, blah, blah. No. It's America. We can be unhappy. That doesn't mean we're saying he didn't win. He won. Okay. Now, you won. Govern. You know, winning is easy. Governing is harder. And that is from?
Game of Thrones.
Hamilton.
Also Game of Thrones.
Is it also from Game of Thrones?
I believe Daenerys Targaryen has that conversation with, what's his name? Barristan Selmy.
Wow.
Ha-ha!
All right, weirdo. How was first class, and did you, in fact, make time with the lovely Emma Watson?
Emma Watson not present at this year's World Economic Forum, to my knowledge. Man.
Sofia Vergara? Who was there? What attractive female celebrity was there?
Shakira.
Ooh, her hips don't lie.
She won the national, international
did
something.
Did you see her?
I did not. I was supposed to get a selfie with Matt Damon.
Really?
Matt Damon was there promoting some clean water initiative that he works with.
Okay, yeah, he's big on water.
And he did a session, and I arrived 5 minutes after he left his reception.
Oh, man.
Three people at my company got selfies with him. Oh, I did not.
Dude.
That would have been my only celebrity run-in.
That would have been a nice one.
It would have been a nice one.
I like Matt Damon.
Yeah.
I don't know him personally. I think he seems like a straightforward, solid guy.
I agree.
So,
agree.
Well, that's too bad that you missed him, and you didn't get to see Shakira's hips?
Nah.
Ugh, that's, yeah, I would have.
I could have walked by her, and I wouldn't have known.
Really?
I don't...
Oh, tiny little Spanish woman?
Well, maybe.
Yeah, she trust me. You would have said, who is that?
I mean, let's be honest, there were not many women there.
Right.
I mean, it's billionaires.
So Shakira would have stood out.
So I asked first class. First class was great, but good Lord, for that much money, there's no reason.
Really?
Why would... God, it's $7,000 for a round trip ticket.
I know, but didn't you get treated like royalty?
You get treated.
Didn't you get treated like a Trump?
You do. You get to eat and drink. They give you a little menu, and they get here. I took this. I asked the flight attendant.
This?
Told her I did a radio show, and I want this is a little binder they give everyone in first class.
Oh, the Polaris binder.
So it looks like a CD booklet.
Oh my!
This is
yes.
from United, and you can describe what's in it.
It's beautiful. It's two pronged. So we've got some cowshed, cowslip soothing hand cream, lip balm, and relaxing pillow mist.
Mm-hmm.
What is? Did you use any of this?
I didn't use anything in that entire package.
Pillow mist. And then it looks like a sleep mask. Oh, yes, a nice sleep mask.
Sleep mask comes with it.
That's nice.
A pen in the middle.
It is a pen. You've got a pocket comb. You don't see these very often outside of a Mad Men screening.
Mm-hmm.
A couple pouches of hand sanitizer. Two peppermints. Very nice. A toothbrush, some toothpaste, facial tissues. And is this, a roll-up earplug. I love those. I use them at home every night when I go to sleep.
There you go.
So everybody gets one of these.
So everyone in first class gets one of those.
These are beautiful.
In the little booklet, they get a couple pillows, a couple blankets. They give you, basically a hotel room.
Is it real silverware, real glassware, real china when they bring you your food and drink?
It was real silverware. The blankets were, at least on the United flight, the blankets were labeled Saks Fifth Avenue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't even walk through Saks Fifth Avenue.
I will say the movie selection was abysmal.
Really?
The only movie I could find that I wanted to watch was Indecent Proposal.
Where do I know that? Is that the one with Demi Moore?
I believe Demi Moore and
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
Did you fly in 1987? When was your flight?
Who was the guy? Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Robert Redford.
Indecent Proposal.
It was a classic. I'd heard the name. I figured I should see it. Good movie.
Do they have any current films? I know you were flying, across time zones, but I didn't know you were flying against decades.
Yeah, it was mostly Pixar movies and kids stuff. I wasn't interested in any of
that. President would love that. Watching a Pixar movie today.
Yeah, and there's an electrical outlet at each of your things, plus a USB cord so you can charge while you're
okay.
in flight. The only thing that made me extremely upset, and I didn't ask, to be fair, but I was not provided in this little deal, this little package,
mm-hmm.
a Wi-Fi access password.
Oh.
Now, I probably could have asked and said,
yes.
Hey, can I get the in-flight or whatever?
Right.
And hopefully they would have said yes, because it's like $10 for the flight.
Right.
If you want to buy it. But with that price, you're paying
for
the
ticket.
No, it
should be included.
They got to include it.
Southwest gives you free Wi-Fi.
Really?
Yeah. Not for surfing. You have to pay for the surfing part. But they have their Wi-Fi for their movies and TV and stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay.
And that's Southwest.
Yeah.
That's like the Greyhound of the sky. You know. And I love Southwest. If they want to sponsor the program, we'd love to have
you.
We
would love that.
We love it. I fly Southwest exclusively when I go to New Orleans. I would also like to be a spokesperson for New Orleans. So all these possibilities can be yours. Just contact the sales department. Jeff Hill's our sales manager. Contact him at WGN Radio and say, hey, we want to be part of the Brian Noonan movement.
Let's get
some movement.
Which way are we moving exactly?
Well, I think people go, yeah, we know what kind of movement you are.
Hi-o!
BM. BN the BM.
Rhymes with Howell.
Yes. And Hood.
And Hood. There, I was literally, that's I set
literally,
you up for that.
That's right. That's where Cody likes to drink. So we do, listen, they could sponsor us too.
I actually went there for the first time on Friday.
Is that right?
I'd never been.
How have you never been there?
No one ever invited me.
Oh, my goodness. I've been there quite a few times.
Had an Allagash White.
Oh.
If they want to sponsor us, I'll drink
Allagash White. Listen, I love it. I've been trying not to drink as much beer lately.
Why is that?
Well, the empty calories. So I've been drinking more bourbon. Which may explain why I was out till 4 o'clock yesterday morning.
Are you going to get into that?
No, maybe not. maybe, but we still got to get to. So were you able to lay down completely stretched out in your first class? Did you have one of those first class bed seats?
Oh, yeah.
Like a little apartment?
Oh, yeah. You hold down the button and it lays you flat out.
Not, even at 6'5"?
Yeah.
6'4".
Nice. 6'4", yeah. 6'5". So you take your shoes and socks off, and they provide you these socks.
Okay.
That are super breathable. They're like special flight socks. And the second you get on, a lot of the people in first class took off their shoes and socks, poured on these flight socks. They've got little rubber grips on the bottom,
sure,
so you can walk in the bathroom and stuff. But
are the first class bathrooms different? Is it like going into a woman's bathroom where they have a couch and all kind of stuff?
There were two couches.
In the airplane first class bathroom? My God.
Yeah, it's weird.
I am so used to traveling like cattle.
No couches, but it was fine. It was a normal bathroom.
Okay, normal plane bathroom.
But I could press the button anytime I wanted and get any drink I wanted.
In the bathroom?
No, in my seat.
Oh, in your seat.
I didn't try the bathroom.
Really? What kind of drinks did you? I hope you had some alcohol.
Oh, I had a bunch of bourbon.
Oh, good. All right. Very nice.
But I've decided this is not smart.
Well, they say you're not supposed to drink a lot of alcohol when you fly because it messes you up. It dehydrates you and all that.
Yes, this is the issue. I didn't have much on the way there, but on the way back, I get on. I had a few glasses of wine with dinner, a couple Jack. It wasn't Jack. It was
Jim Beam.
Jim Beam, I think, maybe. No, I don't know. All right. It was some nice bourbon,
okay,
and Coke.
Johnny Walker? No, that's a whiskey.
I don't remember what it was.
It doesn't matter.
I had a bunch of alcohol.
There you go.
And my thought process was drink a bunch and then pass out.
That sounds like a plan.
So I drank a bunch, passed out for a few hours, woke up not happy.
Oh.
First of all, I had miscalculated my insulin dose. So my blood sugar was a little high.
Yeah.
When your blood sugar runs high, it dehydrates you.
Yes.
I had also just had alcohol, which
is a diuretic.
Dehydrates you. I was also on a plane, which is dry. So
you are completely.
I had the triple threat of dehydration.
Oh.
I had a mild headache, and I had probably 4 more hours on that
plane. Oh, no.
So be wary of the alcohol.
Did you have them? And I'm sure they don't bring you tap water. They bring you some sort of expensive, beautiful bottled water.
Oh, I had like 6 bottles of water. I literally just kept getting up and walking up to the stewardess and saying, please give me another
flight
bottle.
Flight attendant.
Yeah,
in first class, they're not stewardesses. Flight attendant.
Is this a class thing?
No. I don't think they'd like to be called stewardesses anymore. They haven't been called stewardesses since 1976.
Really? What's wrong with stewardess?
I don't know, but that's their flight attendants.
Interesting.
We're still recording, right? Yeah, we are.
Because a stewardess is a female. That was back in the day when there weren't male stewards. And then they decided they were going to be flight attendants. I still call them sky pixies or waitresses in the air.
But, sky pixies.
Sky pixies. They don't like that either, come to find out.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean it as a term of respect and adulation. And yet, nothing.
Mm.
Yeah, what can I tell you? Very strange. So, all right, so the first class... You don't think it's worth the $7,000?
God, no.
But think of all the leg room you had. You were able to lay out flat.
Yeah.
Had you what? Now, did they close the curtain?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, close the curtain.
I didn't even
did
look.
Did you have nice, cool mood lighting in there? Last time I took a flight that had first class, I looked up. I said, it was when we went to España. They had, like, beautiful, soft purple lighting in the back. And we got, like, fluorescent lights buzzing above our head back in steerage. It was horrifying. And you look up and you're like, oh, look at those people up there. That's the other half.
you know, on the United flight, 6 a.m. or whatever, you know, an hour till landing happened where you kind of have your little breakfast. Yeah. They just flip the lights right on. But on the way there, I flew either Swiss Air or something. I don't remember the airline. But when morning came, they put on these low, dim purple lights. Ooh. And it was like dawn inside the plane. And then about 10 minutes later, it got gradually brighter. And
that's beautiful.
It slowly eased into full lighting for, it must have been at least a half hour. It nice. Was amazing.
Wow.
Very cool. Tremendous.
Wow. Yeah, that's worth $7,000 right there. I'd pay $7,000 for some soft lighting. I'm used to harsh lighting and a bad alarm clock that just jars me awake way too early.
I flew to Madrid over the summer, regular class, coach, one might coach. Call it, a human might call it.
Steerage.
I was fine.
Yeah, no, I exaggerate a little bit. The Iberia flight was actually pretty good in, but a coach. Because they had great current movies. I didn't have to go back to watch, you know, Birth of a Nation, like you did, or the original Pinocchio. They had real, just out of the theater movies, and you could watch them all. Now, going over, I slept. Coming back, I stayed awake. But yeah, no, they were good. Iberia also gives you booze, which was nice. Mm-hmm. So beer and wine, they're even in coach, they're like, drink up. We don't care. We're going to give you salty meats and some beers and just have fun. All right. Okay, good. Welcome to Spain. So yeah, we've got a little time before we've got to do our regular show. This is so weird. All right, so what else did you see? You went to the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. You were there on business. But it looked like, from following your escapades, as I like to do, some people call it stalking, I call it just following your escapades, looked like you took off for a day or two, had a little day trip.
I did
a little exploring.
I was discouraged from turning it into a Euro trip by my job, but...
what do you mean discouraged by your job? They went, we're not paying for you to run around in Europe.
Well, you know, after putting in the hardest week of work all in the last 2 years of my life, basically, it's apparently frowned upon to immediately then go on a vacation. There was a lot of wrap-up stuff to do last week and things. So, however, since the forum ended on a Friday and I could leave Saturday, rather than flying directly back, I took a train through the Swiss Alps to Salzburg.
Oh, wow.
So I went to Salzburg, Austria, and I was there for one day.
Very nice.
I loved it.
Yeah?
I absolutely want to go back. It is a cute little town, smaller, a couple hundred thousand people.
Yeah.
So not big, but with a lot of tourists on top
of
that.
Sure, sure.
And it's the home of Mozart, or the birthplace of Mozart. So I went to Mozart's first residence.
Okay.
When he lived there, I went into one of the... They have like 100... They have probably more cathedrals per capita there than most places I've been. And I went to the cathedral where Mozart performed and things like that. It was cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
But it's a lovely, beautiful little, just quaint city, river running through the middle of it. There's a big castle up on the hill.
Did you run into any of the Von Trapps?
None of the Von... Mm. No, and I did not get to... I should have gone to the castle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that's the
yes,
one.
Yes, that's
know?
The one.
Obviously, you know
that. Edelweiss. Did you sing that at all?
Not so much.
Mm.
I did also learn that it's a fully American thing.
Oh.
No one in Salzburg has seen that movie.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're all just like, what the hell are you people talking
what's
about?
What's the sound of music? Yeah. Huh? What? No.
I did see a female deer. I saw...
Was that a doe?
It was, I believe, yeah. Right. I saw a...
Did you see a ray?
I saw a drop of golden sun.
All right. You were there.
I was.
You called yourself.
I called myself a couple
times.
Did you
run?
Nah.
No.
Nah.
Not even a fa? Not a long, long way?
Not a long way.
Do any mending?
Nah.
All right.
None of that.
Have any jam, bread?
I did have some
a beverage to wash it down.
Bread. Yeah, actually.
What'd you wash it down with?
Tea.
Oh, that's always good. That's a good drink with jam and bread.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, if I do say so myself, it's pretty good.
People right now are like, oh, they are so dumb. They just went through the Doe a Deer song and tried to pretend they weren't going through the Doe a Deer song. But I think we did it very well.
I thought it was fantastic.
For not having anything written down about it, it's not like, all right, we're going to go into that song bit.
This entire thing is scripted.
Oh, of course.
Word for word.
Yes. The big circuitous arguments that I get into with myself, it's all written down.
So circuitous.
I saw other people post pictures of their show, and they actually do have everything segmented out.
People are posting that?
Yeah.
Posting their scripts?
Yeah, their scripts, their rundowns.
Well, let's go check it out after.
I'm not a fan.
Well, the Facebook party.
Well, sure. Everybody, we're big Facebook. Yeah, it's shut down again.
Yeah, speaking of drops of golden sun, though, I have not seen the sun since I got back.
There is no sun here.
What is wrong with this city?
The other day, Larry Mowry was telling me on Channel 7 that and I've heard Tom Skilling, the great Tom Skilling, say the same thing. We may get a peak of sun at some point. Just a peak, just for a second, just to let you know that it's still there in the solar system, that we're still revolving around it. But we're not going to see a lot of it.
Literally,
gloomy.
I was in the Swiss Alps, and there's all these mountains, everything's so beautiful. But the most striking, beautiful thing about it was there was sun.
Yeah, there's no sun.
There was a blue sky and clouds. I've been back for a week, and I have not seen the sun once.
And what does that coordinate with?
It means that America's since Trump got inaugurated. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there will be no sun.
But weirdly, and this is a national thing, because the first weekend I was gone, my girlfriend was in Ohio.
Okay.
Second weekend I was gone, she was in New York. She's visiting family both places.
Boy, she can't wait for you to get out of town. She ski daddles.
No, it's because she misses me so much, she can't be home.
Is that right?
I hope so. I'd tell myself that.
A man in every port, it sounds like to me.
She told me, whoa. She said that there was
I'm kidding.
I know. She said there was no sun in either of those locations.
Of course not.
The whole country.
The whole country. There's floods. There's deep freezes. It's the end of days.
There's locusts.
End of days.
There's locusts.
I saw four guys on horses coming right down Michigan Avenue.
Did you?
Yep. Pestilence, plague, and then they're two pals.
Was one of them Psylocke? Was another Magneto?
No, those are the X-Men.
Those are Apocalypse's four horsemen.
Magneto is not one of the four horsemen of the Apocalypse.
He is in X-Men Apocalypse.
I tried watching that on the plane going to Spain.
Yeah?
I fell asleep.
It's awful.
I got to be honest, except for the first one, I've had a hard time with all the X-Men movies.
Well, because here's what happened. Comic movies started to be a thing, and X-Men was one of the first.
Yes,
Spider-Man.
And it was really good.
And what people don't realize is that you watch all the Marvel ones, and they're all fun.
Yes.
The Fox movies are melodramas. Yeah. The X-Men is not a fun movie.
No, not at all.
And understandably, there's some undertones of there's the racism parallel kind of thing. And that's, you know, it's a heavy subject, but they're not approached from the fun perspective, except Deadpool,
Deadpool was so good.
Highest grossing rated R movie of all time. Understandably.
And snubbed by the Academy.
Was it?
Snubbed.
It was so funny.
It was great.
It's
one of those, I watch it every time it's on.
Really?
If I'm flipping through and I have some downtime and I'm flipping through, Deadpool's on again.
On TV?
And it doesn't matter, on HBO. It's not on ABC.
It's on
HBO.
They're cutting out half of it.
But, and it doesn't matter where I join it, I'm still enjoying it. I think Ryan Reynolds completely salvages his reputation after Green Lantern by doing Deadpool, and Marina Bessarin, who plays his love interest.
Oh my God.
Stop it.
She's good.
Talented. Talented. So and beautiful. She's on Gotham, too. Do you ever watch Gotham?
No.
Gotham's a great show.
I haven't watched anything lately except for Doctor Who.
Gotham is, I'm always amazed that it's on at 7 o'clock. Because it is a dark, violent show, and I'm like, man, this is not a 7 o'clock show that the family can be watching, unless your family's all screwed up, you know. But that's that. All right, where were we going with that? The X-Men movies. Yeah. So I liked the first one. I liked, and what was it? Then there was
First Class. Later.
First Class was okay.
Well, there was X2, which was kind of bad. X3 was the one that most people said was really bad. They tried to do the Dark Phoenix storyline.
Yes.
It didn't really work.
No.
And they kind of brought it back in Apocalypse 2, even. They referenced it.
What was the End of Day, or was that?
Days
of Futures Past confused me.
It was time travel.
Yeah. You know I hate time travel movies. Always will.
But Peter Dinklage.
Still.
Yeah.
It's time travel.
Yeah.
That's what I say about that.
I see.
So, anyway, all right. I mentioned this. I stayed out till 4 because...
We're getting to this.
We'll get to it. It's brief. There's really nothing to tell other than we got done with the show, the second show, after it was like 11:15, 11:20. So, I was tired. And instead of just going home, I was like, I want to have a drink and just unwind for a few minutes. Plus, my knee was killing me. So, I was like, I'll just sit down. So, I had a drink. And then I start talking to one of my castmates, the guy who plays my brother Jimmy. Great guy. He's a good musician. So we're talking. And then a couple other people we start talking. And then it's like, all right, well, you want to go have a drink? Because they were trying to kick us out of the theater. So once they kick us out of the theater, it's like, so like four of us go and we have a drink. And then we just start talking. And then we're at, you know where Sheffield's is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're in Sheffield's.
That's where you ended up last time.
That's where they go. And last week, guess who closed a gay bar?
Wait, you didn't go to, hold on, gay bar. All right, you didn't go to Berlin. That's a club.
No, and I know the head of security at Berlin, so I could go there anytime.
It's a gay club, right?
I think so, yes. I believe so, yes.
All right, so you went to Boys Town, clearly.
Well, it's right there. It's all right there.
Right, so which gay bar would it have been? Oh, wait. Oh, no. Don't tell me it was, what's the one my ex used to bring me there? She used to,
It's a dive. I'll give you this hint. It's a dive.
All right, then it's not. I'm thinking of the one where they do musicals on every Monday or Tuesday or something. They have a musical sing-along, and everyone, they put on musicals,
I don't believe that.
I know.
I don't think that's where we were.
It seems like a theater.
Oh, no, this was not it.
Theater person kind of hangout.
No. A number of the people in the cast are gay, and so this was last week. They said, do you want to go out? And it was one of the girls' birthdays. In the cast. And so I was like, all right, I like this person. I'll go out and have a drink for their birthday. I think that would be nice. And so it came, there was much debate. Do we go to Sheffield's again? What's the funky bar that you say nothing good happens ever?
Big City Tap?
Yeah. So I know that one.
They threw that out?
No. I always, every time I walk past it, I go, that's the place Cody talks about with another name. And then there's the crazy karaoke tiki bar around the corner there.
Trader Todd's.
That was poo-pooed by everybody. It's bad. But then they're like, hey, let's go to, any idea?
I can't remember.
I think it's called Shakers.
I've never been there.
It's on Clark, just like a block south of Belmont. And, they were like, hey, let's, you want to go there? And I didn't know it was a gay bar. I obviously didn't have any problem with it because I was there for a couple hours. But I was like, yeah, I guess. And all anybody kept saying was, it's a dive. It's a dive. And I'm like, fine. That's the kind of bar I like. Mm-hmm. I like a dive bar. So we get there and one of the cast members who's gay, I walk in and I'm like, hey, what's happening? And he gives me a big hug. He's like, I can't believe you came. And I'm like, why? He goes, this is my place. And I look around and I'm like, I go, is this a gay bar? And he's like, yeah. And I go, okay. I said, I'll have a Manhattan. Not that that's a gay bar drink. That's just my drink. But then it's now, 3:30 and the bar is closed. And I'm like, wow. Not only is this my first time in a gay bar, I'm shutting it down.
That was your first time in a gay bar?
Yeah, I think.
Really?
I guess there's so many.
I've lived near Boys Town for years. So for me,
I never went to. I don't go to bars anymore.
Right.
So no, and it wasn't like I'm not going into that bar because it's a gay bar. I just never, I was out looking for the ladies when I was in the bar scene. So back then, that was when Rush Street was the hot place for young single males to go trolling.
Oh, Rush Street. No one young and male goes there now.
Again, I'm not young anymore. So when I was young, it was the place.
Young males used to frequent Rush
Street?
I thought it was always
No.
Old rich men area.
No, the Viagra Triangle was not a thing back when I would go to like Mother's and all those along Rush Street there, like the Lodge and all that stuff. No, that was a place to go. When you were a South Suburban kid coming into the city, boom, boom, ching, kong, come in, park in some dicey neighborhood, pray your dad's car was still there when you came out, 3 a.m. Then you'd wander around trying to find some lovelies.
Wow.
Yeah. Usually fruitless.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed your first experience.
Well, that was last week, and then last night we were at Sheffield's, and we're all talking, and then all of a sudden they turn on the lights, and I'm like, oh, my God. Now, by the time I get home, it's going to be almost 4.
You just have such a fun cast. Yeah. TonyandTina's.com.
TonyLovesTina.com. TonyLovesTina.com. All right. Should we wrap this up? Let's wrap this up.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back. We'll be back with another one next week. We always appreciate your support. Thank you for listening to the podcast while we've been off. We'll be on again next week. maybe the next 2 weeks. I don't know. And then we're off for a while. But we'll always be here giving you lovely content here on WGNRadio.com. Go to Cody's other podcast, Game Life Balance US, which now WGN Plus has been rolled into WGNRadio.com. So you can just go to the one place and look it up, and everything's right there, correct?
Yeah, it's on WGNRadio.com.
Okay. So that's where you can find it. Mm-hmm. You can listen there. And again, thank you for the kind notes and the kind words. If you want to send those along to the WGN page or something, do that, because we do appreciate getting them. I know I do. I don't want to speak for Cody. He really doesn't care about your adulation, but I'm an attention whore. I need it. I live for your adulation. But yeah, as much as we appreciate it, send it to everybody else. Let them know. I'm tired of not tooting my own horn. If people want to compliment us, go ahead. Compliment us. Tell the bosses that you like us.
I always like a compliment. Yeah. I receive them rarely, but...
Ditto. So if we listen, I'm going to take the ones we get and I'm going to make the most out of them. All right. True. Do we have anything else for today?
And we will in the future, maybe, I don't know how much we'll talk about politics.
Yeah.
It's hard to get away from, it seems, right now.
If something big happens, we'll talk about it. Obviously, it's not going to be the focus of everything. It wasn't the focus of everything tonight.
Right.
It was a big focus tonight because this is all new. Things may slow down. Fingers crossed, and start to stabilize. We will still remain vigilant. We will still not be afraid to speak out. If you agree with us, great. If you don't agree with us, great.
But speak out in a productive way.
Yes.
I think Brian and I are going to try to do is keep things in some kind of productive light. So things are presented in a, all right, look, here's the situation. Here's what, maybe we disagree, but maybe here's some things you could start thinking about.
Right.
Or things you can start doing or, addressing if with your friends and having some conversations.
And if there's absurdities, we'll point them out just like we do with Florida News and Naked News and anything else. If there's something that we just look at and go, how is this happening? Well, that's my job, is to point that out. And it's your job to agree or disagree or at least think about what we're saying. I don't have to tell you your job. You know your job. All right. Right now, they're like, you know what my job is? To turn this off.
Hi-yo.
I'm tired of being preached to by this ninny. All right. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you very, very soon again right here on WGN.